too late to sleep, too late to pay for what I stole. The morning comes and here I am.
Episode 83 of Drunk on Comics. Beer, sin, sex, fun. I'm the guy that just turned 31. And I'd recommend don't do it, all you people out there.
That was it?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm actually surprised you can even talk after the celebration of your birthday.
Yes, the celebration of my birth was more like a funeral. Because I was dead by the end of the night.
That was great. Although, I gotta admit, when you showed up from the pre-evening celebration to meet up with myself and Kevin and a bunch of other people at the bar, you were already starting to get there, but I am happy to say that I put one of those nails in the coffin with that double IPA that I bought you.
Yep.
First thing, here you go. I know you like it, and you're not going to say no.
And there's a couple times when I should have said no, but I was like, more.
Oh, God, dude. We tried. I even tried taking, well, your brother brought you Strohs. Because Stroh's for bros.
Yeah.
I tried taking it away from you at the end. No! Yeah.
So, I do like going out and hanging out and drinking every once in a while. Normally, I can remember most things. You know, last part of the night, I just remember eating a slice of pizza. Don't remember seeing you at the other bar. Passing out at my dad's house because they wouldn't let me sleep at my place. And then somehow passing out in the spare bedroom and then waking up on the couch in just my boxers. Like, I don't remember getting up, don't know why I moved to the couch, don't know anything.
Well, so I'm going to suggest that we move past too much information personal time here on Drunk on Comics.
Yeah, I don't even know why I just shared that story.
I'm pretty sure that you were still drunk from the birthday party.
Yes.
And I'm working on my second one. So, all right, guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. For new listeners and old alike, this is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books, books that came out this week. We're talking about industry news. Sometimes we talk about conventions, collecting.
I was going to say, we haven't really talked about conventions in
there hasn't really been a whole lot to talk about conventions. It's the off season.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I've been keeping my eye on what's going on. I mean, there are some new ones being announced, but nothing that I really feel like talking about. Yeah. So I haven't even bothered forwarding those little nerdly nuggets of information along to you.
So, gotcha.
So no nuggets.
Oh, damn.
At least not of the convention sort.
Okay.
So should we get things kicked off?
Can we go to McDonald's and get some later?
I'd like some nerdly McNuggets.
Yes, let's kick it off with Off the Shelf.
All right. Off the Shelf is brought to you once again this week by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. The best shop anywhere in North America. Because last week it was the Midwest, and every week they just get better and better.
Yeah.
So... So, yeah, so if you're in North America, you know, plan a day trip and go.
See, you skipped a step, though. We could have just said best of, like, the state and then got a little bit.
Well, I think I went Midwest last week.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, West Michigan.
No, well, the first time it was, like, if you're within a couple-hour drive, so that covers most of our state.
All right, well, let's stop talking about geography and get back to comics. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, if you want to check these guys out and check out all the original art that they have for sale as well, check them out at fanfare-se.com. Tony, you want to kick it off or should I?
You should.
All right. First book I'm going to talk about this week is Rocket Girl. And I got the resealable bag because of where I bought this one. I actually didn't get this one at Fanfare because I missed it somehow. I was dumb. Rocket Girl number 3 from Image Comics, written by Brandon Montclair and art by Amy Reeder. And when I say art by Amy Reeder, I'm talking pencils, inks, colors, and letters.
Oh, wow.
Girl does it all. And which, by the way, I know that Amy is actually one of our nominees for the Drunkie Awards for 2013. So, this book, I know I talked about issue 1. I believe I at least mentioned issue 2 when we talked about it. But this is, for those of you not familiar with this book, centers around a young girl, 15, I believe, named Dayoung Johansson, who is a time-traveling teen cop.
With a rocket.
With a rocket. And she travels from the future of 2013 to back to 1986. One of the cool things that I liked about the way that they did this, which was confusing in the first issue, but it makes sense now, is that they say 1986, the present, 2013, the past. And it didn't quite make sense to me until I started reading it. And it's smart.
But they went around the clock that far into the future that it then reset after 10
No. Oh. It's present time based on Dae Young, the main character. So the stuff that you see in 2013 was stuff that had previously happened to her. So it's in her personal past.
Okay.
And she is currently, presently, in 1986. So I'm like, all right, that's actually pretty slick. The general story, though, she has come back to 1986 in order to stop some things from happening, which are going to create the time of what we would now know to having, like, flying cars and rocket packs and all this other stuff.
Do they have hoverboards yet?
I didn't see any hoverboards. No.
Mattel needs to get on that shit.
You know, there actually were hoverboards. We'll talk about this later.
Okay.
And actually, some of our listeners probably already know about this. But this is one of those great comics that, you know, this one here, even for as back and forth in the time stream and these different characters and all that, you can still pick this one up and really enjoy it. I mean, the reason I wanted to talk about this book in particular is that this book, when you look at the writing and you look at the art, this is really what a comic book should be. I mean, it's perfect to a T. Now, the story, you know, people, if they don't like time travel and stuff like that, yeah, maybe they won't like this one as much. But the character development that Montclair does in here, and even in the fact that, you know, you've got this 15-year-old girl who's a cop, you would think, oh, 15-year-old girl, yeah. No, she talks like a young adult. You know, I mean, it's never degrading, you know, to hear what she has to say. She's not overly emotional. She's very logical. She really is trying to do something that is right, even if it means basically just wiping her 2013 out of existence, because it's what's right for all of humanity. Now, you still don't know exactly what that is. This book, you start getting a little bit more intrigue with, there's some double crossing going on. You don't know who the bad guy behind the scenes is yet, but it really starts to kind of load all that up in here. Amy Reeder's art is just fantastic, though. And I mean, I talked about it before, and I was actually talking to another friend earlier today when we went down to the comic shop about how Reeder does such a good job at actually putting emotion in there. And Tony, I'm going to pass this one because I know you haven't seen this one yet. How she does such a good job at being able to kind of manifest that one moment when someone is in the middle of saying a word, or that moment of shock where when you read it, the emphasis of that one word, you can clearly tell that that's the moment that you're seeing in that picture.
Yes, very good nonverbal cues.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in the shifting of the eyes, you know, you can kind of even see where they may be moving next, or that, yeah, it's really good face, I would say.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Well, and the posture and the body language and everything in there, it really is fantastic. So, I mean, for those of you that are interested in the true composition of a great comic book, you really should pick this up. And this is something, if I was teaching a class on comics, this would be required reading. I mean, it's that good of a book. So highly recommend picking it up. And I mean, you can probably still find issue 1 and 2 floating around out there. I mean, yeah, maybe you might have to pay a couple extra bucks, because I know that issue 1 did really well, but it's worth it in my opinion. So that was my first one. What did you have there, Tony?
All right. Well, I have something kind of similar, Crime Fighter, you know, everything kind of futuristic set, but not really. I have Damian, Son of Batman, which we all know Damian's dead right now.
What?
Yeah. So how... Well, because he died that weird book that
I know.
Remember.
Yeah.
So how can there be a Damian? Oh, maybe because it's a set in kind of a different world.
Is this like an Elseworlds type?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not following the main, you know, Batman books. Because, in fact, actually, to give this is number 3 of 4. This book and this one actually had a pretty good reveal, but the other two, like, the writing in this has just been great as far as the pacing and the storytelling goes, because it does leave you with a hook. And this is written and drawn by Andy Kubert. So, colors Brad Anderson and Nick Napolitano letters.
I didn't know that Andy Kubert did that. He wrote.
Yeah,
I wasn't familiar. I mean, I've been familiar with his art for a long time. I didn't know that he was
writing. Yeah, I didn't know really either that he. The thing is, though, is you can tell with this book that having that same person do both, it just waves you in. It's like a little fish swimming through. It just waves, hi guys, follow me.
I'm actually more curious to read this now, knowing that he did both, than I was before. Because I don't have any emotional attachment or draw towards the character of Damian.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that he's doing both, I'm curious to see how one person does the storytelling on it.
Then like I said, this story has been just phenomenal. As far as the only thing that was confusing, but I don't know if it was purposely or not, was within the first issue when Batman dies, I'm thinking Bruce Wayne died. Oh, spoilers, sorry, if you haven't read that issue a couple weeks back.
Oh, yeah, we might spoil shit.
Yeah. I didn't know that this universe there set in that, not Robin, what the fuck, not Nightwing, what the hell is his name? Oh, Dick. Grayson was Batman then. So you have Damian being Robin, but that was Dick Grayson who got blown up, because the whole time he's saying, you know, Batman's dead and whatever, and you start thinking, well, fuck, they just killed Bruce Wayne, so Damian, son of Batman, is going to become the new Batman. Issue 2 starts off with Batman being old, coming in and kicking his ass, because he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Because Damian's kind of going on a vengeful hunt and killing bad guys, because he's trying to figure out who killed Batman, which in that issue then I had to go reread issue 1 and be like, I thought Bruce Wayne was dead. What the hell? So that was the only confusing thing, but I think they did that on purpose, because in each one of these, the big reveals at the end is kind of great. But it's also, it's hard to explain. In this one, the most particular thing is seeing the kind of thoughts going through Alfred when he saves Damian. Damian gets all dressed up in the new bat suit and everything. He's got kind of a trench coat.
How old is Alfred?
Alfred's old, because this, like I said, this is set years in future. Like, the Damian now is more of a kid in the main universe.
Well, he's a very young corpse.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not growing up anymore.
They didn't need the full coffin for him.
In this one, I would say Damian's, you know, 20s, mid-20s or so, so he's a little more adult. So even Alfred was saying how old he's been and when Batman went into retirement and all this. And you see him pulling, Damian, Batman, from the gutters because he just got his ass kicked. And it was weird because he's then helping, you know, heal his wounds or whatever. Damian just kind of passed out. And Alfred says, I'm going to have a cup of tea. And then Alfred kind of passes out. And then Alfred kind of dies. But a black cat shows up. And then the black cat jumps on Damien's chest and starts talking to him with Alfred's voice.
Is this Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
That's why I'm like, what the hell is going on? Is this? I'm thinking, okay, it's a dream sequence. And Damien's kind of waking up. Maybe Alfred's not really dead. Or maybe he's still in the gutter and this whole thing is a dream. No. They actually bury Alfred. He says how there was really no one to come to the funeral because most anyone Alfred knew were all the bat people, and half of them are dead.
Well, yeah, and it's not like Alfred really had a social life. He was a slave to the Waynes. I'm sorry, Butler.
He even mentions as much, though. He's saying, I'm getting too old for this. I'm not paid enough for this. When, you know, Bruce retired, I said I'd look after Damian, but this isn't what I was figuring. Later on in the story, you also get a scene where the cat's talking to him again, and he even starts saying, I don't know if this is made up or not, but what he just told me sounded true. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. And that's one of the mysteries of this book that is weird, because as weird as it is talking about Tomcat, also makes it more interesting. It's not just a straight up, we're following Damien through his hierarchy of, I don't know, becoming the new Batman, which, by the way, when Bruce originally came back in issue 2, started kicking his ass because Damien was killing people. And Damien said the same thing that we always think of. Why the fuck hasn't Batman killed some of these people? They just get released. They just come back out and they just harm more people. That's Damien's whole motto is, I'm just going to stop them before they can commit another crime. I'm just going to kill them. Through the other issues and stuff, though, you see this kind of, revelation go through Damien that he realized he needs to do better. So he's trying, in this issue at least. And like I said, it's only the third issue, but it seems like it's been a huge story arc. He's trying not to hunt down the bad guys. He's hunting them down, but he's not killing them. Saved a school bus full of children. And ultimately, he's been on the lookout for the Joker. He believes the Joker is the one that killed Dick. What you come to find out in the final pages of this, it is the Joker. But not the Joker. The Joker's been gone, long gone for years. It's this new guy dressing up, and as he kind of says, you can just call me the Joker. Not original, but hey, that's who he is. So you got this new kind of Joker that it's also makes you wonder, well, how psychotic is this one? What is this guy's true motives? Because if he, you know what the old Joker is. And the old Joker has always needed Batman to be his good guy versus his yin and yang. This one kind of just seems, he just wants to kill Batman. He pretty much kidnapped Bruce Wayne, has him there now, is now going to kill Damien, and this one's just, fuck Batman. We're just going to get rid of him.
That'd be great if, like, there's a new series every year where Damien dies. 2013, you kill him in Batman and Robin. 2014, you kill him in the Damien miniseries. 2015, the Return of the Joker, and he kills Damien. You know, whatever it may be, but...
Oh, fuck, actually, I didn't even think of this. Until just now, they actually talk. I don't know how many times he has died. Damien? Do you know in the New 52? Is this just his first?
I think he only died.
That one time?
Yeah.
Then they actually mention in this. So to kind of, I guess, do continuity-wise, to say this comes off of the main 52 universe or whatever they'd call it, they even talk about how he got brought back once when he goes to talk to Ra's al Ghul, because you know he's got the Lazarus pits and can... Which is how I know they're going to probably save him anyways.
Well, now that you mention that, maybe they did bring him back.
See, yeah.
At one other Oh, wait, no, yeah. I think he did. Because, well, it's Talia. Like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you know I'm not a huge DC guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Damien is the son of Batman and Talia.
Yeah.
Al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ra's al Ghul is his grandfather, and which is kind of unique in everything that he's got. One of Batman's mortal enemies being his grandfather, and then Batman, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Grandpa Ross!
That's kind of why I've liked Damien so much, and that's one of the main reasons why I picked this up, was to kind of see that family dynamic, which it was in the first issue, so that was interesting, but then kind of nothing else with Ra's al Ghul. It is a really good, besides those really weird, nuanced things that I said, though.
Yeah, the Afterlife with Archie, like, you know, guest starring Damien.
Yeah. I can't wait till this fourth one comes out. And actually, I wouldn't mind seeing this all-new, all-badass Batman take shape.
Well, and just flipping through that, I got to say, I mean, there's a couple things I do really like about it.
Well, one I know what you're going to say. You like the paper.
Actually, I do love the paper. I wasn't even going to say that, but I do. Yeah, it's matte format. I absolutely love that. But no, I mean, just the artwork in general, you know, the costume with the cowl and the cape and all that for Batman, the Batman outfit in this, it's got a really cool, badass look to it. But just the general, I mean, like, I liked, just flipping through, I like the panel layouts that Kubert does. It's very classic. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking there, but... It's just good storytelling that you can visually follow very, very easily looking through, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, no, it's, I may actually have to go read this because you've got me interested.
Well, you know I got them, so you can steal them from my pile.
Yep. All right. Something that you and I both read this week, Tony, was The Twilight Zone number 1 from Dynamite.
Yes, and this was crazy good.
Yeah, this was something I've been looking forward to for a while, but I was a little hesitant. Now, this is written by J. Michael Straczynski. Illustrations, and I have no idea how to say this first name. It's spelled G-U-I-U. So
G-U-I-U.
We're just going to say Gooey.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right, and I apologize, but last name is Villanova. Colored by Vinicius Andrade, letters by Rob Steen, and the cover was by Francesco Francavilla, who, speaking of Afterlife with Archie, is the artist on that series.
Yeah.
This book, now when it was announced, I was like, all right, I love The Twilight Zone. I love shit like this. But Straczynski, I've either really liked his stuff or it just didn't work for me. This one, really liked it.
Yeah, I'll say when I first started reading it, it took me like the first couple word blocks when it's kind of setting up the scene. It made me think of the beginning episode of, and like how I talked about last week with how they started that Voltron book with just literally pulling from the or words from the cartoon.
Yeah,
this really set the tone of, wow, I'm in the Twilight Zone. And
well, and the cool thing with this book is, I mean, the art by Villanova in here, it's laid out very much like a TV show would be shot, especially kind of those old classic, you know, Twilight Zone episodes. And so, I mean, there's again, it's very similar in for the most part, your standard panel layouts. There's a couple things where they kind of break those lines, the standard, you know, equal size panels throughout. But for the most part, I mean, this is flat out like TV show editing, and it works so damn well for this book. But yeah, so for people that haven't read it, I don't want to spoil too much in here, but basically there's a guy who is been doing some illegal embezzling.
Yeah.
And goes to this company so that he can disappear. And he goes through and has this transformation. He no longer looks like himself. He doesn't have the same DNA. He doesn't have the same bone structure, dental structure, fingerprints. It's all he magically changes. And then there's so he gets to get away with all of this.
Yeah. And the reason why he came to them in the first place was he was going to be going to jail. The feds were on to him. They knew it was going to happen. And pretty much almost the day after he took this magic little pill, the feds, you know, started mm-hmm. investigating, and he got away scot-free.
Yeah. The hook at the end is what I won't give away.
Yeah, I won't either.
Because like any good Twilight Zone TV show, there's always a hook at the end where you're like, what?
That's kind of the whole time reading this, because that there's always going to be that hook. In the TV show, because it's so visual or whatever, you know, I see it being hard to translate onto a comic book. Because I was thinking, how are they going to really do this? It's got to be a one-page, you know, quick, you're going to recognize the holy shit, that just happened type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reading, it's like, okay, this is all cool. This is awesome. This is just an awesome story as it is, but where's the Twilight Zoniness of it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam.
Yeah, Straczynski did a really nice job writing this issue. And I think one of the fun parts is if you like any of those old shows, or like me lately, I've gotten back into, and I mean, I go through this about once a year or so, Tony, you know this, where I start listening to the old-time radio shows.
Yes, it's weird, but
Yeah, it's the theater of the mind, man. You know, I mean, and that's what these are like. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of Inner Sanctums again lately, and that is exactly what this reminds me of. I mean, it's fits right in with that pulp style, you know, of storytelling. Yeah, you know, it's not the same artwork styles as like a pulp noir type comic, but it is definitely that kind of darker element feel to it. And what I was kind of expecting was for these to be almost like one issue one shots.
That's what I was thinking too.
And there's a hook. It's a cliffhanger, and it's going on to the next issue. So now what I don't know is number one. I'm looking. I don't see it saying like a number one of So I'm hoping that this is an ongoing series.
No, yeah, I'm hoping it's ongoing, but I'm hoping maybe it's just two different issues per story. Yeah. Like, the next one will maybe be a total different thing.
2 to 3 issue story arc, and then now it's a new show. You know, so, like, if you don't really like it, that's cool, you know. But, yeah, this was a great, great issue. I think this was probably the best thing I read this week, which, I mean, even on a heavy week, this could still be one of the best things that I read, as far as, like, you know, having such weird expectations and being just blown away.
Yeah. And especially not having any basis for the story or anything and just being like, God, that was damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a good one. So I'm looking forward to seeing the next issue. And I'll be honest, I don't really want to wait a month. Like, yeah. I wish it was actually like the TV show and the next episode came out next week.
Yeah.
That would be nice. So, all right. I think that pretty much wraps it up for Off the Shelf.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I just thought, if people are, I mean, by this point, they probably should have figured out that Kevin and Matt aren't here. But
no, they actually are here. They're just sitting quietly in the corner. They're like, oh, I don't want to talk today.
Yeah, they're really passed out from the party last night. Yeah, but, yeah, so.
Because I'm Matt, and I like Tony so much. He's the coolest brother, and I owe him a lot of money.
Really?
And I'm Kevin, and I think that too.
Once again, you astound the world with your dead-on impersonations, Tone.
Yes!
I don't know what's going on, but... okay, should we do a little news?
Yes, there was some news. Last week, there was nothing. This week, there was some.
Yeah, we got some stuff. Should we start out with something that we touched on here... I think it was last week or the week before with a little rumor.
Oh, yeah.
The Fantastic Four / X-Men movie...
is going to happen.
Never. It's never
going to happen. In opposite worlds.
Yeah. In Bizarro World. It'll happen in the DC Universe.
Yeah. Well, to not confuse our listeners even more, yes, that is just straight up a lie.
Well... It's here's what Mark Millar tweeted, saying that I keep, and this is a quote, I keep seeing news that X-Men and FF movies are crossing over. No, they're not. They exist in the same universe, but movies stand alone. So at least for now, there's no plan of having any kind of crossover cameo.
And see, this is where I feel like maybe this is, you know, the red herring that they're throwing out to make people not think it's going to happen, and then it's going to. Why wouldn't they? I mean, it seems like a huge cash cow for them to do, get two different fan bases that I'm sure most everyone is going to see both those movies, but...
Is it really two different fan bases?
No.
Like, you know, people that like Fantastic Four hate the X-Men, you know, and vice versa.
But you pair them together, and they're all friends now.
Yeah, it's like when you mix slushy flavors as a kid.
Yes.
It's...
And the only one that really worked was Coke and Cherry to make Cherry Coke. Everything else just turned into purple.
Yeah, it just turned into gross. But you thought it was awesome because you made it.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a rumor debunked, at least. What else did you have, Tony?
All right, so, see, this is also, I feel like it's not news because it's kind of almost the same still that they've put out, but Guardians of the Galaxy has a little more information on the movie and what's going on. They released a still scene of the characters dressed up, kind of in like a lineup, police lineup.
Yeah, which is definitely, the usual suspects kind of thing.
Yeah. And for the most part, it seems like it's going to revolve around Peter Quill, I guess, kind of forming the team, meeting up with them. And pretty much they're all going to be going against the Collector, which we've all seen at the end of Thor 2. Because you've seen that, Derek, haven't you?
No.
You still haven't seen that movie?
No.
Damn.
Yeah. I'll get to it eventually. I've been busy doing other things like reading comics.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, but like I see this... I will say, though, that... that Dave Bautista in there, who is he's playing Drax.
Mm-hmm.
He looks awesome.
He looks scary.
Yeah. Like, when I first heard about him being cast that, I'm like, that's a terrible decision.
I can't believe they fit Bradley Cooper in that small raccoon. He looks awesome, too.
Dude, they used Hobbit technology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know how, like, the Hobbits look really little next to Gandalf? It's mm-hmm. the same thing. Do you think Rocket's actually going to say Blam murdered you?
I hope so.
That would that would be actually pretty cool. More Marvel media news, which actually there's a lot of Marvel media news this week, is that who was it that said it? The Mirror, which is a British tabloid magazine type okay. thing.
You're getting your news from tabloids now?
Well, yeah, but they're British tabloids, so they gotta be real. According to that, and I got this, I saw this reported on comicbook.com, is that Haley Atwell is moving to Los Angeles to begin work on the Agent Carter TV series.
Okay.
So, you know, it's the, I'll be honest, I'm a little behind the time on some of my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's tied in with that from what I understand.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I've actually not seen that one shot yet, so... have you seen that one? It's on the Avengers, I believe, disc. The Agent Carter one.
Oh.
Or no, I think on the Avengers one might be...
the Avengers one had like...
Number 47 or whatever, yeah. With Agent Coulson. Pretty much what they're doing with all... Once again, Marvel doing these little teasers and stuff, and this actually is kind of something that came out last week, but we didn't mention it. They're doing these little one-shot, little mini-movies, you know, and putting them on the DVDs. So, to kind of, I guess, test the waters and see what out there. I guess when Thor 2 comes out, they're having one called Hail to the King, and pretty much it's just a picture of Loki sitting on the throne. So, don't really know what that's about, but it... guess it's going to revolve around a Loki storyline, and that's just kind of cool. That's what DVDs are for, is to have extras. Whenever you buy a DVD and you just hit play and nothing else, why the fuck did I buy that?
Well, that was the one thing that always pissed me off when I did used to go and rent movies.
Oh, yeah.
Was that they didn't have any of the extras. It's like, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
In more movie news... We have Dwayne Johnson tweeted something out saying that met up with Warner Brothers DC people and that they're partnering up for something in 2014. So, you know, apparently, but haven't we heard him talking about...
Is it just Warner Brothers or DC's talking about it?
Well,
I was going to say, because that could be almost anything then.
No, that like Warner Brothers, DC, all teaming up, that it's going to be doing. But Warner Brothers does all the DC movies.
Yeah. Well, it's because Warner Brothers owns DC.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I didn't quite hear you say that DC was part of it. I thought you were just saying The Rock's talking to Warner Brothers.
Yeah, he actually tagged DC Comics in the thing. So that's kind of interesting. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think... You know, there like the article that I saw this on was MTV.com, but you know they kind of talked about a couple different things, whether it could be the return of Black Adam or whatnot, and they mentioned, I don't know if it was in here that they mentioned it or if it was another place that I mentioned ideas. What about him as a Lex Luthor?
That's just too strong of a Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but I like that better.
Saying just because he's bald.
Well, yeah. I mean, it works.
I think there's better Lexes.
Like Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
He's bald, too.
So, you done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Star Wars days are numbered at Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which we've known that, but the news now is that Marvel is going to start publishing Star Wars books in 2015. So... I guess one more year at Dark Horse, maybe, if that. And then they're going to be all under the same mega corporation, which will... Holy shit, they did a feature film of the future on themselves. They're going to be the the group of, and Wally. They're going to own everything.
Oh, I never saw Wally.
What? Derek, get out of here.
All right, finish it on your own.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Disney is buying everything, and they can't buy my love, though. They can just make stuff and make me love it.
Well, things that I love right now are Montreal.
Yes, that is kind of cool.
That, like, that city has officially become one of the coolest places ever, and I want to go check it out because they're using their street lamps to, like, it, you know, now the article I saw was on TheVerge.com, and they're using their street lamps and making them look like word balloons with, like, little pictures in them that kind of do some descriptions of, like, you know, eateries and church and this and that. But the little pictures on there are very comic book cartoon style. This is one of the coolest damn things I've ever seen about comic book culture making its way into the mainstream world.
Yeah, and just need to look at the pictures because it's pretty sweet. I want them to do this in my town now.
Yeah, so go check it out, theverge.com, and you can see, you know, where the title of the article is Street Lamps Transform Montreal into a Living Comic Book. I wish they would do that here in our town. That would be, like, I mean, it wouldn't be original, but, you know, screw it. It could be, like, the Marvel versus D thing here. You know, we'll, you know, and or who knows? Maybe we'll be Image.
Okay. Yeah. Well, something that I love because I'm Matt is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles classic toys. Okay.
Matt doesn't really get into the Ninja Turtles classic toys. That would be you.
No, actually, no, that's actually not a lie. Matt collected Ninja Turtles. I collected Transformers. So, but I actually have his giant tub of toys downstairs, too.
The whole thing is that Matt collected, you still do.
Oh, yeah, true. But for some of you out there who enjoy old school nostalgia, Toys R Us is coming back with the original toys of the Four Turtles, Shredder, and Splinter. So these, like, look exactly the same. The rotations are not really much or articulate like new age toys. All the weapons come preformed, whatever. Really horrible toys when you compare them to new toys now.
And I believe last night, Tony, you were describing their grimacing faces as looking like what? Yeah. And we're like, how are you going to explain that to people at home? Because they can't see your face.
If they ever played with these, they would know exactly what I'm talking about. Each turtle had their own face head mold.
Yeah. Speaking of head mold, your buddy Deadpool is getting married.
Yes, and this is actually, oh, this is going to be so great. It's going to be the wedding of the century. It's going to blow Mr. Fantastic's wedding out of the water as far as Hallmark moments.
Well, you know why I'm not going to read it?
Why?
Because the Watcher is shown in
the picture. I was just going to say, and they even got the Watcher, which you know that's got to be something then.
Yeah, no, they do have like a cover, I think. Like, I don't know how many people they said that were actually, Scott Koblish did the cover, and there's almost 250 characters in here, including the actual creative team, which I think that's fun. But the question is who's he going to get married to?
Yes, and what I keep thinking is it's Death. I mean, that's the only person that, well, he's the only person that she's really loved, but that's because he just dies all the time, and, well, it doesn't truly die, but he kills a lot of people, too.
Well, okay, now, I don't know a lot about the character of Death, but is Death a Caucasian woman?
She's personified as a Caucasian, well, yes, when they show her face, yes, white Caucasian woman. Sometimes they just now show her face as just a skeleton, but with boobies.
Oh, with boobies.
Well, to show that it's a woman, it's not just a skeleton.
Well, you could have said breasts or something, or even boobs, but the boobies, really? Are you 13?
I'm reading comic books still, I must be.
Yeah, and collecting toys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one place you cannot go collect your comic books at any longer is Barnes & Noble, At least not your Marvel books.
Really? Why is that?
Marvel has decided to pull single issues from the bookstore chains. And so Barnes & Noble, other chains like that. There was another, like, Books a Million, I think, was one that I saw listed in there. That they're still going to do the trade paperbacks and graphic novels, but they're not going to do the floppy copy single issue comic books out there. So that's, you know, it's a question of, but, you know, they haven't really done much newsstand type single issues. You don't really see those hardly anywhere ever for any brand of comic, except for, like, sometimes you'll see, like, more of the kids' books at Toys R Us and stuff like that. You know, but you don't see a whole lot of comics out there.
Yeah.
You know, other than now the good news, I think, is that that should actually help the brick-and-mortar local comic shop. You know, so the people that maybe were going out and picking those up, now they're going to want to go, you know, now they're actually going to search out the store. The flip side, it's less exposure to people to get, you know, to some of the new readers out there. So maybe they would have gotten into it and then started going to the local comic shop. Maybe they're going to do that now. I don't know. But I'm guessing that most of our listeners don't buy their single issues at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
But if they do, well, then...
Good luck.
Yeah. Which, actually, I know that some of our listeners are actually Barnes & Noble employees.
Oh.
But that's a different story altogether.
Sure, those are pissed. The ones are pissed. Man, I could read this for free on my lunch break.
And... Actually, the ones that I know don't buy them there. They go and buy them from their local shop. Which is funny because they could actually get a discount.
Yeah, that's good for them.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it before. Jim Starlin is going to write something for Marvel, but didn't quite know what. And everyone was speculating it's probably Thanos. Well, it's now revealed. He's doing an OGN, Thanos, the Infinity Revelation.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but for people that don't know, because I was...
They're not somebody, on the lingo?
Somebody asked... yeah, OGN is original graphic novel. So, anyway, sorry. Yes,
I should have just said that, but I was just reading the title of what I was reading. Anyways, he's coming back, and this seems like it's going to revolve around, because obviously they just had the whole giant thing with Thanos being turned into a statue. This seems like it's going to be kind of a prequel, a retelling of his search for the Infinity Gems, because obviously with that, their whole big thing of Marvel now and tying all their movies together, why wouldn't they reimagine it and then fuck it up maybe by changing some things? I hope not, because Jim is doing this and he's done it before. So it will be cool to see a different take on the Infinity quest, per se. That's what it looks like this is going to be about, and it's going to be a good read then.
Yeah. Follow-up to a story we had a while back about a dentist by the name of Dr. Steve Landman, who has an autoimmune disease that he was selling off his comics to help raise money for his medical bills, but also to raise money for awareness of the disease, because it's incurable, at least at this point. He actually raised... over $500,000, $570,000 with selling his books.
Wow.
So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there because it was something that we touched on before, and we don't normally bring up a lot of auction news unless it's like a huge thing or something like this. I mean, he had a great collection, but it was also for a really, really good cause. I had one other thing, Tony. I didn't know if you had anything else besides that or not, but the one thing that I've got is Sean Murphy, who is... I'm currently loving him on The Wake from Vertigo. This month, I think it is, his 6-year exclusive contract with DC ends. Hmm. And he tweeted something out saying, you know, that thank you for great 6 years. And here's where it gets awesome. Looking forward to my 2 new books at Image. And one of them is going to be with Mark Millar on there as well. But I'm just really curious to see what... Now, working on a Vertigo book is, to me, you know, just... It's as... Within the big two, that's as close as you get to an independent book, you know, but I can't wait to see what he's going to do over Image. I'm stoked. Love that guy's work. So, that was the last little little nugget I had for you.
All right. I guess the last thing is IDW is becoming the house of repurposed franchisees, I guess. I don't know what the correct terminology would be, but they're coming out with Rocky and Bullwinkle now.
Oh, the you're talking like...
licensed property. Yeah. They're the house of licensed property. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're that's going to be coming out, I believe, this April. They already got, what, Peabody and Sherman?
Yeah.
And they recently put out, what, Powerpuff Girls, Samurai yep. Jack.
Yeah.
They already got Ghostbusters, Transformers.
IDW has all the Popeye and the Mars Attacks, Judge Dredd, you know, all that kind of stuff, too. So, and actually, I think IDW has also got the Doctor Who. They've got, I think, are they X-Files, too?
Yeah,
I believe Star so. Trek? Yeah, I mean, like, they've got everything. Just about that is.
I think they got property. Turtles as well. So yeah, they.
Yeah, and I know they've got turtles. Yeah.
Fuck. So we start speculating. What's the new comic book going to be? What's popular now on TV?
Well, actually, it's more what's started to slip off the radar that could have a big comeback. I think on the kids' side, I'm going Fat Albert.
Hey hey hey!
That one was actually not bad. Holy shit!
It's because I just said hey hey hey. If I probably started to talk like him.
Yeah. I was like mush mouthed. Are you a fan of Albert? although I think from the 80s cartoons shit, wasn't there talk of a Gem comic book coming out? Gem and the Holograms?
I think there was.
Yeah, but I could. Well, He-Man's already covered under DC, but yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see Thundercats.
There was a good comic. I collected almost all of them. Under Dreamwave or DreamWorks. What?
DreamWorks?
DreamWorks is a movie. I don't know. There's another publishing that's now under, but they did Transformers and Thundercats, and that was badass. That would be cool to see again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Take our advice, IDW. Make that one your next property.
Yeah. Or maybe somebody should go back and listen to that drunken rambling we did at Motor City last year, where we were talking about, like, Was Silverhawks and
oh yeah
and all that shit. Ooh, maybe we get some Thunder the Barbarian in there. But all right, that does it for news. Tony, did we have what we should do? A little Indie Turnpike think?
Yeah.
All right, Indie Turnpike this week. Where the hell did I put it? I lost it. there it is. Indie Turnpike. I couldn't even remember what it was. Sin Boldly. It's a one-shot from Image Comics, written and drawn by Joseph Michael Linsner. And for anybody that knows me, they know that I have been a very, very long-time fan of Linsner and his artwork. You know, he gets some criticism because his characters all tend to... they either look like the one male character or the one female character, but... Here's my argument against that. He draws the best looking woman I've ever seen in my life. So why should he draw anybody else? This is a one shot. There's actually two stories in it. The second story is called Obsidian Stone, Burning Roses. And it's about this guy whose name is Obsidian Stone. And he's kind of a futuristic.
That's just a badass name, I just want to say.
Yeah. He's a futuristic, more or less, knight royal guard kind of thing, and he goes after someone who went AWOL and was a traitor to the king of New York City. And, you know, it's a very interesting tale of, you know, seeing this guy being a badass. He has a chainsaw sword, which is...
Okay.
The blade is like a chainsaw. Like, it looks like a sword... But then he turns it on.
Sorry, a little off topic, but whenever I hear chainsaw, I think of one person, one movie, and I think of Ash all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, I always relate it to Ash and Army of Darkness. So now I'm thinking Army of Darkness set in medieval times, that would be badass to have a chainsaw sword.
Well, yeah, and guns are outlawed in this time frame, but see, there's a sword there, so you can kind of see. It just looked like a serrated edge sword. Until all of a sudden you see the nice in there, and he's actually, and you can see, like, Linsner did a nice job on this where you see him, like, striking swords with somebody else, and you see it, like, making the sound and cracking and the sparks flying. This is a black and white comic, for those that are have not seen. It's a gray wash on it. The first story, though, is more in tune with what most of the Linsner fans are familiar, and that is a Sinful Susie story called Hell is Waiting. And Sinful Susie is like a demon that lives in hell, and she's trying to collect souls. She needs to collect 1,000 souls so that she can get out of hell and go finish living her mortal life. The first thing that I should say about this before anybody runs out and buys this, this is not for children. This is mature audiences only.
Well, especially the front cover there should kind of give you a clue of, yeah, you shouldn't buy this for kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, you should not, because the Sinful Susie story, she's topless in the majority of it. So it's, but when I say he can draw the best woman I've ever seen, Tony.
Those are some nice bazongas.
Oh, you're not going to call them boobies this time?
No. I was trying to just, you yelled at me for calling them boobies. So.
But this is an interesting story of when she goes trying to get a soul from someone, and then kind of has the soul taken from her. But there's some very funny and interesting moments in here. All these demons and people are waiting in line at the IRS in hell, which stands for the Infernal Review Service. And she is standing two people behind Kurt Cobain. And there's some very interesting jokes in here when, you know, you got this other person saying, hey, do you know that your wife sold off 25% of your publishing rights? And he tries to blow his brains out again, but he can't, and people are laughing at him. It's very dark humor in here. But this book, I mean, I wanted to bring it up because I do so enjoy Linsner's art. I mean, his art style has not changed in, I think we've got to be coming up on 25 years of Dawn at this point. His art style hasn't changed. It's almost like, I mean, you could probably look at something from 2013 and look at something from like 88 of his, and I don't know if you'd be able to tell which one he did when. It's consistent. It's great. It's fun, not for kids, but if you want something, and if you're not familiar with any of his work, this is a really good introduction to his writing style, as well as kind of the worlds that he creates. So I'd say go pick it up.
All right.
I know we got booze and a book hiding in there someplace. And,
yes.
And I think we might even have maybe a Best on Tap cover too, don't we?
Yep. Start with booze and a book. This week it's going to be very simple, thrown together, but it also is a delicious beer as well. We are going to pair Lancelot's Cream Ale from Dragonmead. It's a delicious, not too hoppy, 5.3% alcohol. It's subtle on your palate. And the reason why I'm pairing that one is with Fables number 136, because right now, as most people know, Fables is coming to an end soon, and right now they're going through their Camelot story arc. And there's been this mysterious person in the group of new knights, and you don't know quite who he is, and I started thinking, oh, that's probably got to be Merlin. Nope, it's Lancelot. So this just fits a good pairing of they finally reveal one of these knights and Lancelot's Cream Ale.
So you spoiled the book but savored the beer.
Yes.
Cool. What do we have for Best on Tap?
Best on Tap, this is also something that we've kind of always had the loose saying of, if we're going to talk about a book, we don't pick it for Best on Tap. However, I kind of always thought it was a dumb rule because sometimes it's just the best damn cover. And once again this week, Fables number 136 had the best cover.
I think it's always because there have been other things that were just as good this week. That's a hands-down winner.
Yeah, the cover by Dan Dos Santos, it's just beautiful. It's got Rose Red in knight armor with a rose also being held almost a little bit behind her. It could just be the pommel of the sword, but it's just breathtaking.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, that's like frameable artwork that you hang on a wall. Yeah. Right there. It's just damn good. All right, did we have anything else for Last Call or anything else that we needed to touch on here?
I read Guardians of the Galaxy and then Superior Foes, but really I didn't have much of Last Call. Do you have anything?
I've got three. I've got Dead World Restoration, number 2 of 5, I believe this is. excuse me, follow-up to Dead World War of the Dead miniseries that we had here about a year-ish ago. And once again, Gary Reed is doing a fantastic job at weaving this very dark, depressing story, but yet you still are pulling for these characters in here. And Sammy Mackinnon, God, the artwork alone. Like, I mean, Reed is an awesome writer, but I don't know how you pair... And Reed is actually one of my favorites, but I don't care who you pair with him, with Sammy Mackinnon, the art is going to overshadow the writing, I think, especially in a book like this, because you want to talk about getting sucked into a world, you know, that it looks nothing like anything else you'll ever see in a comic book. Go pick this one up. Revelations, number 1 of 6 from Boom Studios, written by Paul Jenkins, art by Humberto Ramos. And a lot of people know Ramos from his Spider-Man stuff. He did a couple of Superiors here a while back. He's done a bunch of X-Men, things of that nature. Paul Jenkins and Ramos both did the Fairy Quest books here a while back. I tell you what, I like Ramos' artwork better on these style stories than I do on his superhero work. If for no other reason you want to see what else this guy's capable of, go pick it up. But this is a really good book to pick up. Last one I picked up, I'm going to be honest, I haven't got a chance to read this one yet. It's my last book that I got to read this week. But I picked it up for a few reasons. One, I really did like the cover because it reminds me very much of kind of like almost Scooby-Doo meets, what the hell is that movie with the bugs?
The Starship Troopers,
yeah. Almost that. And, you know, it's got the little tagline in the bottom, Scrawny Kids versus Giant Bugs, and this is Juice Squeezers, number 1 of 4, by David Laugham, and colors by Lee Loughridge. And I bought it because Laugham and Loughridge, I've actually really enjoyed most of the things I've seen them do. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. It's got kids killing giant bugs. And, you know, and actually I think if this is as good as I'm hoping it is, I'll be talking about it later. So
I didn't even see that one in the shop. And
you didn't see hardly anything in the shop.
No, like, I think everything got taken away besides I didn't get to go on Tuesday.
I think the problem was is because it was another light week as far as total number of books. Like, average week, I probably wouldn't have picked up Juice Squeezers. I may have passed on Revelations, you know. But a week like this where it's really light, yeah. You know, I mean, I went and bought the previews book just because I was like, well, I need something else to read this week. You know, but it's... Yeah, although it was funny, I didn't realize I did not buy a single Marvel or DC title this week. Not one.
Interesting.
So, interesting.
Maybe you're getting your much needed fix off of it. Like, you're weaning yourself off of those and just going to be all indie now.
Well, come March, I'll be spending a shitload of money with Marvel, those dicks.
Yep, all those number ones.
Yeah, we were flipping through the... through the previews, and there's like probably 20 number ones coming out that month. Ass munchers.
They have what, maybe 2 that are still going to be numbered right now?
Well, a couple, but then
Superior, and then what's the other one that we
there's,
saw?
There's like one regular Avengers title.
Okay.
It's going to be in there, I think, regularly numbered. But yeah, like, well, and there's going to be some issues 2, 3, and 4 from things that started the previous month, but not much. But then the other, excuse me. The other fun thing in there though is there were just some oddball things. Well, you know, and there were some titles that I dropped, like Wolverine and the X-Men. But now you've got...
Well, Wolverine and the X-Men's coming back out, so...
Yeah, and with the, and you've got Mahmoud Asrar doing the art on it. Well, damn it, I love that guy's work. Now I'm going to pick it up. You know, so there's... I'm going to be broke come March.
That's why I'm glad that right now... Kind of happy that there haven't been a lot. I've been kind of pissed, too. I'm like, damn, there's nothing out. I need to read something. But then my wallet is thanking me. It's like, thank you. Spend me on beer. You're awesome.
Dude, if you bought a beer on your birthday at your birthday party, I'd be shocked.
I don't remember if I did or not. Well, listeners, thanks for listening. Keep reading your comics.
Yeah, and tell us about them. You know?
Yes. Tell us what you like.
Yeah. Come find us on Twitter. We're at Drunk on Comics. You can find us on the Facebooks.
Drunk on Comics. Yeah, just look slash up Drunk on Comics.
You can find us on our website, drunkoncomics.com. And actually, speaking of the website, we've got tons of reviews going on there. We actually did post the list of our Drunky Award nominees up there, which we'll be announcing here in roughly a week. And, yeah, just got a few more ballots yet to get sent back in. So if you're one of the Drunken Academy that's sitting out there holding on to your ballot, fill it out, man. What are you waiting for? Come on. All right, that's everything I had.
That's everything I had.
All right, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony. Keep on reading your comics, and we'll be back to you next week.
Rudy, you like school on Saturday. No class.
What the fuck was that?
That's Fat Albert.
Touch the earth below the wheels. Touch the pain.